Today on More to Life, truce. Is conflict complicating your relationships? We'll help you negotiate a lasting peace. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, truce. Is conflict complicating your relationships? We're going to help you negotiate a lasting peace and find the solutions that you are looking for. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Once again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we are taking your calls about handling those questions about conflict and all sorts of issues. And so if you are experiencing conflict with someone you care about, maybe you're tired of having the same argument over and over with your spouse, or your younger kids are arguing with you about everything you ask them to do, or your adult kids seem to love picking fights with you.
Maybe you and your parent or other family member just don't see eye to eye on something, and you're on the outs. Maybe it's a friend. However conflict is complicating your life, and boy, doesn't it ever, let us help you discover grace-filled ways to move through the tension and increase your peace.
Again, that number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can also get your questions in via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. Of course, we love being able to ask those follow-up questions. So if you're listening live, give us a call, 877-573-7825.
And you know, Greg, I specifically said, let us help our listeners increase their peace. And many people feel that if they handle those conflicts, that they're going to escalate, that things are going to become dramatic, and they will not have peace. They feel like it will erupt in some way. So they think, many of us think this, that if we just hold it in, if we're just quiet, if we just bring it to God but say nothing to that other person, that we will have peace. That's not peace. That's suppressing it. That's being, you know, avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it internalizes that lack of peace. Instead of giving us peace, it twists our guts up, it keeps our minds going, it saps our energy, it makes us angrier. When we just hold back from really handling a stressful situation, a conflict in some way, it harms us. And eventually it really does harm the relationship, because maybe we or that other person get an attitude or do that eye roll every time that we see each other, or we avoid each other. It's anything but peaceful. So how do we handle conflict in a way that we can handle, that doesn't drive us crazy or put us over the edge? Well, let's talk about that today and give you some real healing and help that relationship. Give us a call on More to Life today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how is it supposed to help me deal with conflict? Well, I'm glad you asked. St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation, and especially his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that we're called to live in communion. And ironically, because we live in a fallen world, building that communion requires us to learn to live, to deal gracefully with conflict. Our natural human tendency is to either avoid conflict as much as possible, as I was saying, even when we shouldn't, or we can get so caught up in the conflict that we actually end up fanning the flames. But neither of these is an option for Christians. In fact, both are sinful. Avoiding problems we could do something about is actually the sin of sloth. Escalating conflict needlessly is the sin of wrath. Fortunately, when it comes to dealing with conflict, Christians do have a third option, and that is to be peacemakers.
You know, being a peacemaker doesn't mean sweeping things under the rug and just trying not to rock the boat. You know, what it really means is working to restore the right order that God desires in a situation. You know, when conflict arises, being a peacemaker doesn't just mean keeping a lid on things any more than it means unnecessarily blowing things up. It means starting disagreements by seeking God's wisdom and grace, entering conflicts with the intention of working for the good of everyone involved, including ourselves, and doing what we can to encourage everyone involved through the tension and toward solutions. A peacemaker doesn't run from conflict or fan the flames of conflict. A peacemaker is someone who knows many different ways to actively engage and extinguish the fire so that new life can spring up from the ashes. And that's what we're helping you do today on our show titled Truce. Is conflict complicating your relationships? Maybe you're tired of having that same argument over and over with your spouse. Maybe you're worn out from arguing with your younger kids about everything you ask them to do. Or your older kids seem to love picking fights with you. Maybe you and your parent or another family member just don't see eye to eye. Or you're on the outs with a friend. However conflict is complicating your life, let us help you discover grace-filled ways to move through that tension and increase your peace. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's talk about managing conflict gracefully. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Word that brings everlasting life. We ask you now to give us the words to be able to bring peace out of the conflict and tension that so often plagues our relationships with all the important people in our life. Help us to not run from conflict or fan the flames of conflict, but instead bring our conflicts to you and find ways to encourage all the people involved in the conflict through the tension and toward solutions that work for our mutual good. Give us the courage that we need and the wisdom that we need to find the words that create communion through better communication. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show's titled Truce, as we talk about waving that white flag and finding ways to end conflicts and find mutually satisfying solutions with all the people that you're in conflict with. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Cheryl, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Toronto, Canada.
Hi, Cheryl. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Oh, my. Thank you, Dr. Greg, for taking my call. This is to do with, we just recently purchased your Heal Your Marriage book, and just starting to go through it, and I kind of looking at the habits, the 8 habits, and we went through the first 2 yesterday, and unfortunately not doing very well at all. And so it is a big mountain, I would think, to climb and to get to. But at the same time, it's actually causing a conflict in deciphering, oh, true or false. And yeah, so what is the best way you would suggest to really
Before you ask the question, how is it causing conflict? Just you know, the what you're seeing for both of you in the relationship here.
Oh, it would be like something like one of them to spend time together, like in our, or just the two of us, or whatever. And the conflict could be that, well, I've suggested to do that, and you don't like to do that, and that sort of thing. And I said, no, I don't think that's necessarily the case. So it goes from there. So it's a conflict between the two of us.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's, you know. So I mean, as you get into the book, you're going to see that one of the habits of healthy couples is recognizing that you never agree on whose fault it was, or who started it, or who even said what, or what really happened, and that's demoralizing for couples, but it's actually very freeing. It doesn't matter what happened. What matters is how you respond to similar things in the future, and making sure you can get on the same page about that. So what's happening right now is that you guys are falling into, you know, one of those common habits that the struggling couples do, which is they try to refight the past. You know, he says, well, I tried to fix things this way, and you just didn't do that. And then you feel like you have to defend yourself by saying, well, that's not the way it really happened. It's, yes, it is. No, it isn't. What you can agree on instead is say, you know what, whatever happened, we both don't like where we're at. We both don't like what happened. So in a similar situation in the future, how could we handle something like this differently, right? So the job in front of us is spending more time together. What would you like to do to make that happen, right? And then you make a plan to make it happen. And I would encourage both of you to be generous with that, because the point isn't finding things you necessarily both like equally. The point is finding an excuse to be in the same room with each other and share experiences and build connection with each other. So those are 2 tips that I would offer you right out of the gate. Work really hard to try not to fight those old fights again, but rather say, okay, we don't tend to handle X situations well. And when so moving forward, if we have to handle X, in your example that you gave, finding ways to do things together, how could we handle that next time? So basically, you know, using the example that you gave, you know, okay, honey, you said that you said that you used to tell me that you would like to do thus and such. I clearly never heard that, or didn't get that, or you know, you misunderstood what I was trying to mean. So are you saying that you'd like to be able to do that moving forward? Well, yeah. Okay, you know what? I'm sorry for whatever came across in the past. Let's make a plan for doing that now.
And an actual plan. Actually, put it on your calendar. Okay, we're going to do this thing you wanted to do Thursday at 7 o'clock in the evening, or whenever it fits into both of your schedules, and you put it on like you'd put a doctor's appointment down so you don't miss it. And then the other person, the other spouse, gets to choose something that they really want to do, and that you both go along with that, you get that in your planner. So it's not about, oh, well, I said this in the past, and you're bringing up old hurt feelings. It's about moving forward. There's also another great thing to do, and you can work this into it or make your own list just about stuff you want to do together. But the love list exercise is wonderful. You know, both of you go off on your own, and you write down, like, 25 things, at least. It can be more than that, but you want at least 25, so you have things to look at, of things that when the other person does them with or for you, you feel really loved. This is not a complaint list. This isn't when you pick up your dirty socks off the floor, I feel. It's, you know, when you do this, when you hold my hand, when you look at me when I talk, when you get me a glass of tea, when you're up and about, anything like that. that really when that person does it, you feel, oh, okay, I feel loved. And some of those things can be stuff you would like to do together. And then you exchange those lists. And they become those little cheat sheets, so you don't have to think so hard about, what did they say? I didn't hear this. You have it right there to help you draw closer together.
But again, the thing that's going to undermine all that, even if you do the exercise, is this tendency that you guys are showing to say, well, I did stuff like that before, and you never appreciated it. Right? Or I did those things, but then you didn't do anything back. And when that happens, instead of arguing about whether that's true or not, what you want to do is say, well, look, again, we're never going to agree on what really happened or who said what or who did what to whom. That's not important. What's important is that we have a history of not handling those kinds of things well. We have a history of not acknowledging the good things that each other does. Or working at the same time to make the marriage better, because, you know, maybe you did some things one week and then you got demoralized and then you stopped and then your husband did some other things the next week and then he stopped. You know. So moving forward, how can we make sure that we're doing these things at the same time? Right. So do you see my point? You're not ignoring past problems. You're not pretending those arguments never happened or those conflicts never occurred. You're just refusing to refight them, and you're using them as a learning opportunity to say, all right, what do we need to do moving forward to handle similar situations better? I talk about, this is actually one of the habits of healthy couples, and we talk about it extensively in the book, so just skip ahead to that chapter. In fact, in chapter 3, you'll see a quiz that looks at all 8 habits. You can take the quiz and identify where those places that you want, that you're stronger in, and those places that you need some help with. But I would say skip ahead to that chapter that specifically looks at how to avoid getting stuck refighting old fights. All right, Cheryl, thank you so much for the call. And, of course, if you do need more personalized assistance with the habits that are in the book, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can help you find faithful ways to respond to all these challenges in your relationship. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. We are talking with you today about dealing with conflict in all your important relationships on our show titled Truce. If conflict is complicating your relationships with, well, anyone, we want to help you find graceful ways to navigate that conflict, move through the tension, and find those solutions that you are looking for. Give us a call. The number again is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchak, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's going to talk about how to avoid getting tripped up in conflict and instead be able to remain confident in your ability to move through that tension toward solutions. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
This October 8th, our sponsor, Spirit Juice Studios, presents the full story of a hero, narrated by Jonathan Rumi.
Father Flanagan lived his life by a simple principle, that we are all children of God, and it is our responsibility to care for one another.
Heart of a Servant, the Father Flanagan story, rated PG-13. Tickets and info at fatherflanaganfilm.com. That's fatherflanaganfilm.com. Exclusively in theaters nationwide, October 8th.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. when Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Truce, as we talk about how conflict complicates our relationships. 877-573-7825. Join the conversation. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He is also an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body, as well as being a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this. You know, when we get in conflict, we can either get discouraged because it feels like things aren't moving forward, or we can get caught up in it and end up fanning the flames. But you have some suggestions that you share with your clients about how to avoid getting tripped up in conflict. Where do we start?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to keep in mind is what we're aiming for in any given conversation, right? And I think so often we're so fixated on feeling heard and solving the problem that we can get crazy tense going into it, and we can end up shutting it down. I know I've done that a bunch in my life, and it really, it's very counterproductive. But I'll ask you guys this question. If you're going on a road trip, what's the primary goal? Like if you're driving to, you know, some beach somewhere or a family vacation, Route 66, whatever. What do you imagine the primary goal of that road trip is?
Well, enjoying each other's company.
Well, yeah. See, there you're giving away because you're the psychologist in the room, right? Most people
wouldn't say that exactly.
Right, exactly. Yeah, most people though would answer that question getting to point B, right? Like, I want to get to the destination.
Sure.
And you're absolutely right. That in point of fact, even though we all say that consciously, nobody actually thinks that's the real answer. And the reason I can know that is nobody would arrive at that destination with their car half falling apart and everybody crying and starving to death, yeah, and still call it a successful drive. You know what I mean? We all sort of intuit, well, yeah, we want to get there in one piece, and we want to get there happy, and we want to get there safe. And so I think that's very illustrative of the point that the primary goal of any emotional road trip, that is to say these conversations, these conflicts that we're on, where we want to get from point A to point B in solving an issue, is actually that, the primary good is that by the end of that, we would feel more loved by the other person, that my partner or the person I'm talking to would feel more loved by me, more reassured that they are loved by me, and more reassured of their safety with me. And I think going into a conversation with knowing that that's explicitly my primary goal, that goal A is that this person is going to feel more loved and more safe with me by the end, and a very, very close second, goal B, is, and we're going to solve this problem, does actually dramatically change the vibe, because I'm not coming in with the same selfish tension of needing to feel heard. I'm instead staying other-focused, which makes me attentive, which makes me creative and problem-solving in a really effective way. And I don't think we can possibly underestimate how much intention is going to play a role in how calm, cool, and collected one can be when they enter that dialogue.
I think this is a fascinating use of words, Jacob, because you're saying loved and they feel safe, and most people think of that only in terms of romantic moments in their lives, or the flip side in conflict, I just won't make any kind of kerfuffle, then they'll feel loved and safe. But you're saying this is something achievable even in a conflict situation. Which I think most people haven't heard.
Especially in a conflict situation, right? Any decent therapist will tell you that the goal of therapy is to not stop you disagreeing, but to teach you how to disagree effectively. You know, it takes a lot of trust to be able to have a conversation with somebody with whom I disagree. And it can feel really great. I mean, I hope that many listeners will, if not with their spouses, perhaps with a friend at some point, a family member at some point in their lives, have had a conversation where it's like, yeah, well, we both disagree, but man, we really enjoy talking about it. You know what I mean? That's a beautiful act of intimacy. You know, and we forget that that's the intimacy that we're really supposed to be striving for when we have these
Jacob,
conversations.
So let me ask you this. So this is
solving the problem.
This, you know, this doesn't come naturally to anybody. So, you know, what would be, if you could give one tip even to, that would help people know how to make the other person feel safer with them and focus on that, what would that tip be?
Well, I'll give you two for the price of one.
Wow.
The first thing is I would emphasize that it's really important to keep our statements brief when we're talking these conversations. My desire to feel heard and to get my point across can often make me double back and say the point 50 times in 50 different ways in the hopes that it beats it into your skull, right? It's much better to just state the point and let it hang there. You know, ask the question and let it hang there so the person can actually engage with it without feeling overwhelmed. That goes a long way to making somebody feel safe if they're not feeling badgered. And the second tip that I would give is in the same spirit, which is to really try to ask open-ended questions. Now, open-ended questions aren't leading questions where you're trying to get them to give you a specific answer. What, you know, I know why you did that. Do you know why you did that? Right. And they're not yes or no questions like, how, you know, do you feel good about what you did? No. Right. If I can answer yes or no to it, it's not an open-ended question. Asking an open-ended question that's sincerely curious, that's, as I often say, effusively curious about what the other person's feeling about the thing is, gives them space to kind of talk it out. And oftentimes they'll hear themselves before you have to make any follow-up points and be able to kind of get to the conclusion that you're already at for themselves.
Those are really important points, and I think that it goes to the idea of how empathy plays a role in all of this. You know, as our emotional intensity goes up, we start to lose empathy for the other person, and we start feeling like they're the problem instead of our partner in solving the problem. But these little tips for taking care of each other and remembering that, as you said earlier, the most important part of dealing with conflict is making the other person feel safe to have the conflict with you. Really important stuff. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to CatholicCounselors.com. And listeners, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. If you are listening to this and thinking, yeah, that sounds great, but I'm not sure how to make it work here, well, that's what we're here for. Give us a call right now, 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We are in an age where the culture is taking over so strongly, and we need to be effective communicators. One-on-one, online, in interviews, phone conversations. Doesn't mean that every person is going to have a degree, that every person is going to know how to do a podcast, but we need to first form ourselves in prayer and know the faith. And then at least know something if we're going to be evangelizing and out there on whatever platform on a regular basis. But are we making sure that we are doing it to the best of our ability? Prayerfully, but also in a way to communicate effectively. How do we get that message across? How are we approaching people? Are we being kind? Are we giving them accurate information?
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern. On EWTN Radio.
How do we listen to God? Contrary to popular opinion that God only speaks to the privileged few, the Catholic Catechism tells us He communicates to all of us through our conscience. On our hearts, in our most secret core, God has inscribed the moral law. This law calls man to live and to do what is good and avoid evil. In the aloneness of the sanctuary that is our conscience, our Creator's voice echoes in our depths. When he listens to his conscience, says the Catechism, the prudent man can hear God speaking. Conscience is a judgment of reason whereby the human person recognizes the moral quality of a concrete act about to be performed, is already performing, or has already been performed. John Henry Cardinal Newman defined conscience as the law of the mind whereby God speaks to us behind a veil. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. In sports, teams win or lose not only because of the skills of their players, but also how well the players work together. The players on winning teams support and encourage one another, even in the toughest fight. Marriage is the same way. Couples who tackle marital conflicts with a sense of teamwork do better than couples who enter conflict ready to battle one another. In fact, research finds that happy couples have 5 positive interactions for every negative interaction, even during conflicts. That doesn't mean these couples avoid tough issues or that they aren't honest and direct with one another. But even in difficult conversations, these couples go out of their way to make sure that their spouse feels loved and cared for. They offer words of encouragement and affirmation. They work to regulate their own emotional temperature. They take breaks to refocus the conversation. And they cultivate sympathy for their spouse's position, even when they disagree with it. In short, their priority isn't to win. Instead, it's solving the problem in a way that respects their spouse and strengthens their marriage. For more tips about managing marital conflict, read our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or for more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, today's show is titled Truce. We talk about the ways that conflict complicates our relationships. And more importantly, we want to help you negotiate a lasting peace. The number is 877-573-7825. Before we take our next caller, I want to invite you to join Rachel Isaac, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, for her webinar this evening titled Taming the Beast, Overcoming Test Anxiety. That is Monday, September 30th, this evening at 8 p.m. Eastern. It is both for students and for parents. So if you have a younger student, you can attend as a parent to learn ways to help your younger student deal with test anxiety. If you're a high school or college student and you got midterms coming up, great opportunity for you to learn how to tame that beast and beat test anxiety.
Whether you're dealing with test anxiety in school or you're out of school but had experienced it, but now you feel it come up whenever you're in that business situation and it starts to freeze you up or give you that feeling of anxiety, this webinar is for you. Again, that's tonight, Monday, September 30th at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 hour webinar.
And you can find it by going to CatholicCounselors.com/shop and then looking in the course tab for Taming the Beast. Again, CatholicCounselors.com, go to the shop, look at the courses tab, and check on Taming the Beast to get more information and to sign up this evening.
And if you can't join live, all the registrants will receive a recording of the webinar afterwards. Attending live is great because you can ask all your questions and get them personalized, get personalized answers for you. But if you say, oh, I'd love to have that information but can't be there at that time, well, then just go ahead and sign up and Rachel will send you that recording.
All right, and one last thing, since we're talking about announcements, if you're listening to us in South Carolina, your station needs to hear from you this week. Catholic Radio in South Carolina will air their annual Radiothon tomorrow through Saturday on all 4 of their AM and FM stations. So if you're listening upstate or in the Lowcountry of South Carolina or anywhere, remember to support your EWTN Catholic radio station. And with that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about dealing with conflict on our show titled Truce. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Candace, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hi, Candace. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to follow up on a call I made. It was well over a year ago, possibly 2 years ago. I had recently gone back to the Catholic Church, and my husband was Protestant, and it was had been causing us just really serious strife in our marriage. I called you guys to help, and you asked if we had been praying together, and the answer was sort of like, no, we were praying for each other. To sort of change each other's minds. And that was, like, really profound. So we didn't just like immediately start praying together, but I did reach out to Catholic counselors, and very coincidentally also spoke with Jacob Popchek, and my husband and I also saw a couples counselor through Catholic counselors, and all of that together. Today, I just wanted to let you guys know that Adam is genuinely in OCIA and loving
wow.
it. Our son is now 3.5. We also have twins who are going to be a year old in October. And all of our babies are baptized and in the Catholic Church. And
wow.
It is just an absolute
God.
Completely different picture. So, yes.
Praise
God.
That is so wonderful.
You guys,
praise be to God.
Catholic counselors.
But yeah. Candace, can I thank you for calling in? Not because we just feel like, thank you, Lord, you know, you used our words to help this family, but because so many families, so many couples are not praying together. And they hear us say that when they listen in and they go, oh, yeah, maybe I should try that. And then they don't do it. And they're depriving themselves of the grace of God actively working in that relationship. And you actually took it to heart, both you and your husband. And oh my goodness, what an amazing intervention by the Holy Spirit.
And I want to, you know, our listeners who are in a similar situation, you know, the prayer that we suggested to Candace was basically, you know, Lord, you know, each of us, you know, is, you know, we all know, each of us knows what we want, right? I know what I want. She knows what she wants. But help us to know what you want from our spiritual lives. Help us to know where you're leading us, and help us to know how to take care of each other while we figure that out. So it was a very specific prayer that they really concentrated on what Jacob was talking about in his segment, making each other feel safe to explore their spiritual journey together and figure out how to share that and come together around it. And I want to thank you, Candace, for your openness, not just to the suggestions we made about praying together, but to recognizing that you needed some new skills and being humble enough and courageous enough to reach out to get those skills. Because there are a lot of couples who don't feel like anything would help them. And you were able to come against that desolation and really reach out for the support you needed. I'm so grateful that you called in, because I know, I mean, there are just literally thousands of other people who are listening who are in exactly the same place that you were. And what an encouragement your witness is to them of the power of God's grace and, you know, of what God can do when we're humble enough to say, you know what, I need to get some help. I need to get some new skills. So thank you so much. Congratulations on all the incredible changes that have happened in your marriage and family life over the course of the last year or so. Just incredible. And I want to, again, thank you for calling in. What a beautiful witness.
And, you know, Craig, you're saying that, you know, couples need to know that they need some new skills sometimes. Who doesn't? Especially when we first get married. None of us have ever had the kind of deep, holy intimacy in every area of our relationship and our lives that we are called to in a sacramental marriage. We're dragging all of the sins of our past behind us, all the ways we were raised differently, blah, 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 blah. We all know all the stuff we're dragging with us. It is a chore sometimes to get on the same page about things. And if you feel like, okay, this isn't going as easily as we would like, or it's going easily, but we'd like it to be even better, never, ever feel hesitant about reaching out to a good pastoral counselor who can help you get your spiritual life in order together and the rest of your relationship as well. It's only going to bear better fruit than you've got right now, even if it's pretty great. So, Candace, thank you.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to hear this from you.
I praise God for you, Candace, and for your willingness to call in and share your experience. God bless you. And to other listeners who are, you know, I just want one last word on the idea of praying together. You know, we talk to a lot of couples and families who will do, when we say, are you praying together about this? Then they'll say, well, yes, we're praying a rosary about it, or we're doing chaplet. Those are very, very good things. But those kinds of prayers are the way we listen to what God is trying to say to us. The problem is, we often engage in that more listening, meditative prayer without ever having actually asked God a question. You know, so you know, if you're going to do a rosary together as a couple, and I really encourage you to do that, you want to start that by saying, "Okay, Lord, here's what we need your advice on. Here's what we need your counsel for. you know, help, and like we said to Candace, you know, I know what I want, and my wife knows what she wants, but help us to hear what you want us to do about this situation, and how you want us to take care of each other while we figure that out. Okay, Lord, we're going to pray this rosary together as we listen to you speaking to our hearts. Do you see how that works together?
And then we're
together?
Going to share what we think we heard and then build from there.
Right. But it's not just saying words at God. It's bringing those questions on your heart to God and asking him to inform your heart, and then taking that time through those more meditative prayer forms like the rosary, like a chaplet, and other formal devotions, to be able to step back and listen then to what God might be saying. But we can't listen if we haven't asked. Like if you walk up to your spouse and you just start staring at them, they're like, what? Why are you looking? What? Like, well, I'm internally I'm thinking this question in my head. I'm just not going to ask. You know, like, we have to bring our hearts and our questions to God so that we can open our own hearts to hear what he's saying. Otherwise, we're just saying words of God.
And then you share what you think you heard, and your spouse shares what they think they heard, and then you pray about what you both heard to figure out what God's saying to both of you, and you work on that together. But by being in the presence of the Lord together doing this and asking the question first, things can really progress, as we really see with Candace today. As opposed to, I love the fact that she said, we were kind of praying for each other,
to
that
change.
The other person would change. And often if we jump into a rosary or Divine Mercy chaplet or a novena, even together, side by side aloud, what we're really doing is saying, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, and saying
change
in our minds, praying
my spouse,
change his mind, make it better. And we've never taken it to God out loud together, and we're not really listening. We're just kind of beating on the door saying, change the other person. And
so,
that's prideful.
We talk about how to create the kind of couple prayer that changed Candace's whole marriage and family life in our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. If you would like to learn more about how to do what Candace just called in and shared that she and her husband learned to do, so that they could go from this place where they were not sharing their faith to the place where they really are very much in the same place, then check it out, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about conflict today on our show titled Truce, as we help you find grace-filled ways to break through the tension and find solutions. As we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 14, verse 19.
Let us pursue what leads to peace and builds each other up. Now, what stands out to me the most about this scripture verse is, I'm going to go back to my teacher days, the action verb. Let us pursue. It's not let us hope for, not let us wish for.
Let us passively stand around waiting for.
Exactly. It's to pursue it. It is an action verb. We have to engage with the pursuit that will lead us to peace and build each other up while we're doing so, as Jacob Flores Popchak was talking about.
And this is really what's at the heart of that prayer. You know, Lord, okay, I know what I want, and I know what she wants, or I know what I think, and she knows what she thinks, but help us to know what you want, and teach us how to take care of each other while we work together to figure it out. That is an example of how we can pursue what leads to peace and builds each other up, even in conflict. And More to Life will continue with your questions about managing conflict gracefully on our show titled Truce. Join the conversation. The number is 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your questions coming up right after the break.
How would you like to celebrate the Divine Mercy at the Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Poland on Divine Mercy Sunday? Well, you can. Steve Ray here, inviting you to join us in Poland as we follow the footprints of John Paul II, Maria Faustina, and Maximilian Kolbe, daily mass at the most iconic, beautiful churches and delicious local foods. Join us in April for Divine Mercy Sunday in Poland.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
This October 8th, our sponsor, Spirit Jew Studios, presents the full story of a hero, narrated by Jonathan Rumi.
Father Flanagan lived his life by a simple principle, that we are all children of God, and it is our responsibility to care for one another.
Heart of a Servant, the Father Flanagan story, rated PG-13. Tickets and info at fatherflanaganfilm.com. That's fatherflanaganfilm.com. Exclusively in theaters nationwide, October 8th.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Truce, as we talk about the ways conflict complicates our life and relationships. We want to help you negotiate a lasting peace regardless of who that conflict is with. Give us a call. It's 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Megan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Megan, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. So I just want to say first, I really enjoy your show. So I am engaged. I'm getting married in about 2 months. And
congratulations.
My fiance and my... Sorry, what was that?
I said congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. My fiance, though, and my family had like a big falling out approximately 9 to 10 months ago. And so none of my side of the family is coming to the wedding. I will preemptively specify, though, we have gone to extensive Catholic couples counseling and we've talked with several priests about it. And we've discerned that marriage is still the right thing for us.
God bless you.
Aunt just passed away. And she passed away about a week ago. And so I am attending her funeral and wake in a couple of days, and I haven't seen my family in months because we kind of determined it's frankly awkward and inappropriate if they don't want to see my fiance for me to come alone and visit them. They're out of town. So. But I don't know how I'm supposed to navigate this wake and funeral with all these people that are hostile towards me and my relationship. And it's just been very awkward. And I want to be honoring to my aunt who died and not have it revolve around, oh, well, you need to get out of this relationship.
So so I understand the larger family dynamic, they won't talk with you at all at this point then? Or you've drawn that line?
Like, they want nothing to do with my fiance, but we had this whole falling out with like him and them, and it was like a very complicated thing. We had to deal with it a few months back, but
I accept that you worked through all that with counselors and with priests, and so you've gotten good advice. So I won't make you go back through all that, but I just wanted to get so they want to talk to you, but only to convince you to not marry this guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's not like what I was kind of getting at is like, you know, are they able to, have they been texting with you at all about anything other than the, like, are they trying to maintain some kind of a relationship with you, or are all their energy is just going into, you know, trying to separate you from your fiance?
Yeah, pretty much it's all going into that. I mean, I can have occasionally a civil conversation with my mom or with my dad, but most of the conversations are like, they usually start out civil and then they devolve into like me, I'm not even kidding, being yelled at. And then my couple's therapist told me to hang up the phone if anybody starts yelling at me. But I don't. But okay. I'm just curious, like, how am I going to deal with this funeral and wake where all these people are going to be there and I'm going to be there alone and I'm going to have to deal with this because I think it's the right thing to do.
Well, I'm glad you think it's the right thing to do. It probably is, Megan. It's certainly an olive branch, and your aunt probably deserves that memory, you know, like you're being there to honor her memory. Are you staying at a hotel, I hope?
Yes.
Okay, so you have an escape route where they can't be there, and that's great.
So how could you structure this so that you have less to do with them, as little to do with them as possible directly? You know, would you be able to show up, you know, at a time where you think the others might be less likely to be there? Or, you know, I guess the question is, you want to be praying about, it's good for you to be there, but you don't want to put yourself in a situation where they are either attacking you or you're leading them into sin.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
So when I say that, you know, people are sort of surprised, but it's like, you know, when people treat us poorly, we don't just act to defend ourselves, we act to defend them from themselves. You know, and as Catholics, we believe in something called a near occasion of sin. So it's not just committing the sin, it's being, you know, on the edge of the cliff. And, you know, I'm not just falling off the cliff, I don't want to get too close to the edge of the cliff so I don't fall off. And the same thing, you know, if I can't be around somebody without provoking them to treat me poorly, sometimes the most loving thing I can do is to withdraw from that relationship. You know, that's not the first choice, but, you know, if it gets there, it gets there. And it sounds like you're sort of in that place. You can't be around them without bringing out the worst in them. And so the question becomes, how can you, in what contexts can you be around them where you feel safe enough to manage whatever happens, and you're also not leading them into that temptation?
So you've done the first step. You've gotten a hotel room, so you're not staying with mom or dad or siblings and leaving that open to hours of their exposition on your life. But perhaps you can look at the arrangements and just show up around the time of the rosary. You know, pray at the coffin and do the rosary and then sneak out the back, you know, or spend a few minutes and then say, hey, I'm going to head out. You know, it was long travel and I really just want to, you know, honor my aunt but not cause a kerfuffle here, and then go so that you're there, you're present, you're honoring your aunt, but again, you're not putting yourself in harm's way or leading them into an occasion of sin by attacking you.
You know, or you know when the funeral, you know, when they're going to the cemetery, for example, and you show up, you know, to be at kind of at the end of that procession, and you're standing off to the side while they're having the internment ceremony. But then you leave right after. I mean, it's obvious you're there to honor your aunt, but you're not interacting with the family in ways that are causing you to feel unsafe emotionally or spiritually, or provoking them to treat you poorly.
And I'd say it's perfectly fine to not go to the funeral luncheon. You know, it really is. It's fine for you to meet with the people who are closest to your aunt. You know, if her husband is still alive, her children, you give them a hug, you know, offer your condolences, and then you sneak out. There's hopefully going to be enough people there honoring her that you don't have to be forced into that situation. And if they insist, anyone in your family insist on cornering you to discuss this, then you just say, no, I'm here to honor our aunt. It would be wrong for us to use this as a time of conflict to work our things out.
And you
know where I am.
Very clear boundary, and you go. And if your family, either before, during, or after, says anything about, I can't believe you didn't participate in all the things, or I can't believe that you came in and you left like that. It's like, look, I would love to be able to be around you more. But the fact is, I can't do that until you can come around to honoring my decision. You know, I've made this decision prayerfully with good counsel from both counselors and priests. You know, I believe that this is the right thing to do, and it's your job to support us in this. And if you can't support us, then I'm afraid that I can't, or worse, if you're actively trying to undermine it, then I can't be around you. And that breaks my heart, but that's where things are. So it really has to be up to you guys, you know, mom and dad and family. You have to decide where you stand. And if you're able to support my decision and my prayerful discernment, then great. If not, then you're committed to undermining me, then I can't be around you, and that really makes me sad. But that's where things are, and it's up to you. So, you know, this is really about you finding ways that are satisfying to you to honor your aunt, not necessarily you going there and pretending that everything's okay and participating in all the events around the funeral and giving your family opportunity to continue to undermine your decision and your relationship here. I'm so sorry that you're going through this. You deserve to have your family around you, especially having gone into this decision as prayerfully and thoughtfully as you have, you know, getting support from counselors and priests to really look at this from all sides. I want to just encourage you to keep moving forward in this and having confidence in your prayerful discernment and the support you've gotten. We've added you and your family to our More to Life prayer list, and I do hope that these suggestions will help you navigate your aunt's funeral. And with that, it's time for the end of the show here, but thank you so much for tuning in, listeners. If there are ways that we can continue to support you in managing conflict gracefully, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. We hope that you have picked up some things that help you manage conflict more gracefully, and that you have a blessed, blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.